Down the long black stretches of a dark highway. Red bottom fishing with a pound of lead. Robin left the store, left the club for dead. That kid could have put some money in the sack, but he didn't know there was no turning back. That's a ride, that's a game. The next thing he can hope for is a household name. There ain't nobody that a man can trust. Now he's a man, he's so cold. Never let them take him alive. He was a deadly rider, he was a deadly game. The best he ever hoped for was a household name. The morning papers didn't say that he was, but he was a picture where he said no story was.
That's a very famous show, and song. We like that. Notorious, Notorious, yes. And this is War Radio, War Radio calling, a production of White Alien Resistance, PO Box 65, Fallbrook, California 92088. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. Our big website is at resist.com. And you can call into our 24-hour daily phone update message at 760-723-8996. Now, we take some of the better calls throughout the week and put them on the radio show, so you'll hear some today. Leave your subscriptions and purchases finance all war operations, so don't be tankish, support the cause. The February issue of War is now in the mails. If you have moved without informing us, though, you will not receive your paper or your product. So make sure you give us an address change well in advance of us shipping anything to you. The real paper is big 20 pages now and has had a facelift. Check it out. $3 for a sample copy, 12 issues, USA, $30 in Canada, that's first class to Canada, and $50 first class to all other countries. And as always, these are shipped in a plain brown envelope. If you'd like 100 copies of the war paper, then send us a $25 donation, and we'll ship them out to you. If you want 1,000, then ship us $150 cash before check or money order before the last Friday of the month when we go to press. War Internet Radio is now transmitting every day. Go to shoutcast.com, search Tom Metzger, then double-click Tune In. War Radio features hundreds of hours of race and reason soundtracks, live commentary, racist comedy, guest interviews, media interviews, and so on. Radio War, weekly radio show, is at 7 o'clock Wednesday Pacific Time on shoutcast.com. War Radio will transmit normally between the hours of 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each day on Shoutcast, but go to whiteplanet.org for the new schedule of that service. We're already transmitting at a program on Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and we plan to go on in a few days with another show, probably around Thursday. Leave the comments again at 760-723-8996 or email us. And for maximum enjoyment, use DSL or wideband for War Radio. If you're not on our daily update list, just say subscribe. We're sending daily e-zine out to all you people. We have hundreds of people on that list now, and so don't be late. Get your email on that list. Just say subscribe. And we will begin transmission in a few days on whiteplanet.org for the second show. Check the schedule for a day and time on whiteplanet.org. We have the Von Blumen show is up there. There's about five or six shows up there now, so it's becoming quite popular. Support whiteplanet.org. If you'd like to hear more than one show a week as we plan, send us a donation. Earmark it just for War Radio, and we'll put it in that pouch. And then pretty quick we'll have these two shows on. Maybe we'll go to three. Who knows? War has tons of historical audio tracks to run. Well, I wonder where Dr. Carlenberg is today. He should be coming up the lane towards the bunker pretty soon. I think he's here. I think he's coming now, man. Here he is. Yeah. Okay. Is he coming up the lane? Huh? There's the alarm. Hey, Dr. Carlenberg is entering the building. Terrific. Come on in here, Dr. Carlenberg. It's time. That's time. Come on in. Well, I see you made it.
Yeah. But an aircraft could warn me.
What the hell? Where were all those wetbacks chasing you down the road?
That was Bush's Air Force.
Oh, man. What was that all about?
They started bombing Iraq. I guess it's starting with me.
Well, I thought those were Iraqis.
Hell no. Iraqis are the good guys.
Oh, okay. The war has started, huh?
Well, by the time the show gets on, it will.
Why, hell, they already got...
Hopefully Bush isn't a prick teaser.
Well, you know, I was hoping that old Saddam Hussein would demand that Bush leave the country.
Yeah.
I demand
Bush leave the country.
I like to
get... He's got 48 hours.
I got to get rid of his ass. Well, Dr. Carlenberg, are we ready to go to the caller?
Hell yeah, I'm always ready for that.
Oh, you're modulating like mad there, man.
Oh, shit.
I'm telling you. Go, caller. Let's go. Spit it out.
Okay. Yeah. Jewish super Satan.
Hey, it's Pepe. Yeah.
Developed a new vicious weapon that's even more vicious than the Daisy Cutter.
What's it called?
And,
Niagara. No.
True to form, they took a name out of their holy Bible of hatred.
Yeah.
They're calling it the Moab.
Oh.
The Jews are calling it the Moab.
The Moab?
And this is so, these devious types can use weapons that are just as... destructive as nuclear weapons,
yeah.
Without being accused
of nuclear weapons. Well, hell, they got plenty of them, man.
The Pikes developed a new weapon of mass destruction,
yeah,
and they named it the Moab.
You said
straight out of their holy book of
what's it called?
Moab.
Okay.
Yep.
Moab? Is that it?
M-O-A-B. But,
okay. Hey, Dr. Kahlberg, what kind of weapon was that?
The Moab.
The Moab?
M-O-A-D-B.
Why the hell didn't they call it by some movie star?
I think it means Mo-Arab.
Oh.
It's Mo-Arab.
Oh,
Moab.
I see. Moab. Boy, those Jews have some screwed up names.
Kind of like Amscam, you know, Arab Scam.
You remember, who was Moab? Wasn't he one of the sons of Abraham or something?
No.
Another thing.
I would think it was somebody out of Moby Dick, but maybe
so. Oh, watch that Dick stuff.
So that's not the evil Jewish Bible, Moby Dick?
Well, maybe it is, you know. Wait a minute.
What's Ahab number?
Who got swallowed by the whale? That was
Jonah.
Jonah!
And it was Ahab that got killed by the whale to try to kill him.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I like that.
There's a spiritual connection there between
you
believe the Bible and Moby Dick.
Do you believe that guy lived in the belly of a whale?
Well, I think Moby Dick is probably closer to the truth than the Bible.
I think so, too.
Hey, this is Robert from Texas. As usual, another great show this week. A lot of information. A lot of food for thought, as usual. And like I said, you guys point out all the crap that the government's pulling. And yeah, I totally agree with what you guys are saying. I think they're taking the September 11th bullshit and they're just using it as another excuse to control a bit more power and basically stick it to us. So you keep preaching the message and hopefully more people will wake up and realize what the hell's going on. You guys take care.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, I'm not interested in the general rank and file waking up.
Oh, yeah, it would be like Frankenstein waking up.
I'm interested in the lone wolves.
Well, one problem we have is we've got a lot of people who wake up who actually don't do anything when they're awake.
Well, yeah,
you know?
being woke up, don't ensure you're going to do anything.
Oh, yeah, especially with the new Patriotic Act, and the Patriotic Act 2 is coming along, and that's even worse. They're saying that if anybody who John Ancroft aspects of being a terrorist or sympathetic to terrorists, that they can have secret arrest, and that means they can come to your home and take you away, and they can take your American citizenship and basically deport you, and if you're being a racist, there's no country will accept you, and basically you'll be in limbo.
The only place a racist could probably go is an Asian country, or maybe even a black country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some black country.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's North Korea.
I guess I'd have to go to Tokyo and commune with my yellow friends.
Yeah. North Korea.
North Korea.
Yeah.
Mr. Kahlberg, I'm a big fan of your work, both the work you do in the war paper and the kind of work you get on through all those mails.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you said something about the prophet Joseph Campbell.
Uh-huh.
Well, he wrote some interesting thing about mythology, but he was a universalist, and he said that the great myth of the future would be about not one group of people, but the human race, and not one area, but the whole planet.
Oh,
so Joseph Campbell can rotten hell. I hope he's down there right now with Loki's daughter.
Dr. Kahlberg.
Anyway,
I
just throw that at you. Anyway, I prefer reading guys like you and Ron McVan. We don't need Joseph Campbell. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, Joseph Campbell, even though he was a universalist, most of those New Age people are. I think all of them are. But anyway, he wrote a lot of good comparative mythology stuff, and he laid groundwork to a lot of good stuff that can be taken and made into Pan-Aryan stuff. So that way you can take Canaanite myth, and you can take Hindu myth,
and
European myth.
He's a mythologist. That's these people that can take anything and make a story out of it and say, hey, you're going to worship this. Hey, I got a leaf here. I see Jesus on
Everything's
it.
Everything's a myth.
Come on.
Hey,
that son, the All-Father in the heavens, is not a myth. That's the All-Father.
Yeah, I know.
And the earth that you walk on is not a myth. That's the All-Mother. Now, that's all of God I need.
That's true.
Now, the rest of it, everybody thinks they know what the hell's going on and how to explain how they got here and all that. Bullshit. Nobody knows anything. They just have ideas and theories. And you are a mythologist.
That's damn right.
Okay, Dr. Kahlberg, under our system, you'll be totally free to be a mythologist as long as it's a pro-white mythologist.
All right. Thank you for your appraisal.
Okay, Dr. Kahlberg, a BS, PhD, and SS, and all that stuff. I know, Dr. Kahlberg, you want a rebuttal.
Goddamn right.
the greatest man the white race ever produced, Pontius Pilate.
Oh, once we went to different schools together.
Yes, he was a great man. He once said, "What the fuck is true?"
He didn't say, "What the fuck is truth?" That's a family show.
But what is truth?
He said, "What is
what
truth?"
What is truth? Because truth is a man-made concept. Trees don't have a concept of truth. Rocks don't have a concept of truth. Dogs and cats don't have a concept of truth.
And niggers don't have a concept of truth.
Man created truth. Truth is a mythology.
Truth is abstract.
Exactly.
Oh, well then, let's call it abstractology and not mythology.
Yes.
So you're dealing with abstractology.
Truth.
As opposed to evidence and, evidence and things like
that. Yeah, but a man interprets evidence.
He does?
Yes.
He does interpret.
Man is the only animal that
interprets. He weighs evidence.
And then interprets it.
What do you think that horse stands up in front of the court where the scales is about? That's weighing the evidence.
That's weighing the bullshit. Because if the bullshit's on one side, you get hung, and the bullshit's on the other side, you get
I
crazy.
Admit that wasn't a very good example of what we're
talking about. Are you trying to tell me that there's actually truth in the American court system?
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
There's little truth.
I believe what I see. I see the trees. And I see the sun, and I see the earth, and I feel the wind push the leaves in the tree. That's all I need.
That's true.
That's not abstract. That is evidence. Now, what do you say to that?
It all depends on your point of view, Tom.
Well, hell yes. Or the point on your head.
That's true.
Tom, you said it's just simple action, but if you're going to set an error, you think you're in
the
control.
Yeah.
You've gotten to set that and you're deep. I
was
a
white
woman with a black man.
Whoa! CS said,
I was on a public transportation. I didn't
want
to make a scene.
Make a scene, go ahead.
The last thing I used
in
the business from the FBI. Mm. I had nothing wrong at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was more personal on the hottest law of the jail.
Well, I don't think there was any real bad blood between Ben Class and Dr. Pierce. They were competing, obviously. They had two different membership organizations, and when you have two leaders leading two membership organizations, they're wanting to get members, and obviously they have their scuffles.
Oh, yeah, it's human nature to have conflict.
Yeah, and also they disagree on tactics, because one wanted to start a universal white religion, and the other was more interested in, basic politics. So they had different ideas, just like I have different ideas, and just like this mythologist over here has different ideas.
Yeah, I mean, this atheist sack of shit had different
but
ideas.
But the point is, even though our tactics may vary, I think we're all headed in the general right direction. So, no. In fact, Dr. Pierce bought the remains of the property up there of Ben Klassen.
Mm-hmm.
And then D sued him, that bastard. Speaking of D's, they're really coming down on him.
Oh, yeah, look on the internet. There's a whole lot of anti-D's articles on there. Even in, like, Idaho Register had an anti-D. That's surprising in Idaho.
And it's, a militia was suing
him. Oh, yeah, some militia is suing him. And a judge ordered D's to hand over his mailing list to this guy, and the names of all the spies that entered his militia.
That's pretty radical,
though,
a judge making them hand over their mailing list.
Yeah.
No judge ever made me hand over a mailing list.
Yeah.
You know, on a civil trial.
Oh, yeah.
No, they never made it. I wouldn't have done it any. I'd have ate the goddamn list before I'd have gave it to them, but the judge never demanded. In fact, that's very private.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think it
is. Well, I think the difference with you is the Southern Poverty Law Center is a non-profit organization. And to be a non-profit organization, you have to sign a paper that your membership is always open to the public. So that's probably what they were going on.
Well, I guarantee you, this has been a non-profit situation.
Yeah, but I mean, if you legally go and register as if you're a registered non-profit organization, the government really has you by the balls. Anybody who wants to come and investigate your organization can.
I understand that abstraction.
Yeah, that means anybody who wants your mailing list can get it.
And that shows hell no myth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing that none of these racial groups have ever, the judges have always turned them down to get non-profit registration. If they did, that means all these mailing lists would be printed on the internet by the other side.
We decided that way back when I was running the Klan, that from then on we would pay taxes on the money and everything. And pay sales tax and everything.
Clapton tried to get the Church of the Creator to be like a non-profit organization.
I told him he'd never.
And it was the best thing that ever happened to the government turning down, because if the government said yes,
anybody could come in and just pick his mailing list and investigate him anytime. He'd be a pain in the fucking ass.
National Alliance was the same way.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a lot of problems for
him. They tried to get non...
Because I did a lot of research on it, and I found it always... And plus, if you break up, a judge can come in and decide who gets your money. Like, you know, if the National Alliance broke up, whatever money's in the bank account, it's up to a judge to distribute all the excess funds, so they would automatically give it to some Holocaust survivor.
Well, then I'm pretty damn smart, eh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So back in the 70s, I said the only way to keep the government out of this is to keep it a private, like a business, so that they can't come in and get your stuff.
I was looking at it, you know, for like an ordinance thing, to have a non-profit... status, but it would be a lot more problem. I mean, it would just open yourself to the government and the rest, too, because they'd figure out, like, even if you didn't dot an I or a T or something, they'd get you for fraud.
Well, but if you were a race-mixing illness group, you could do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, a lot of them have it.
You
should
preach universalism and love all the niggers.
Love all the niggers,
baby. And then you could get all that tax.
Goddamn right.
Yeah,
another thing, too, is everybody's always complaining about the infighting among the race movement. Any time in history, have you ever known any group that there wasn't conflict and infighting? And that's kind of a utopian idea. You know, we all have to get along, since nobody's ever got along all the way back to the caveman. The cavemen were always arguing over who gets the most part of the mammoth.
Yeah, just like old Mel Brooks, the Jew, used to say on that comedy record, 2001,
mm-hmm.
where they...
Yeah, 2000-year-old man?
Yeah, and he said, well, what, did you have national anthems back there? You know, they lived in the cave. He says, yeah, we had one. We had a flag up there that said, let them all go to hell except K-451.
The Boston politicians had a big traditional St. Patrick's Day breakfast, and Terry the Jew showed up, and he said, I may have big matzo balls attending St. Patrick's Day, but at least I'm not French.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he said they're making a new movie about Terry the Jew, and it's called My Big Fat Irish Ancestry. And he's using that Jew humor, just like in the protocols. It says if these Jews ever get caught in their conniving, sleazy schemes, that they'll just say it was a big joke, and there was a big joke all along if they get caught, you know. So it's working so far, but. Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, except for Terry the Conniving Kike.
Hey, Dr. Goldenberg, give us a little history of that St. Patrick's Day. You're a mythologist. I don't think you like him, do you?
No. Murray Hope wrote a book about the Celts, and he said that St. Patrick's dad was a Romanized Jew. I know he was a Roman soldier. I didn't know he was a Jew. And that his mother was a Welsh whore.
Yeah, but I don't know. He's a soldier and a Jew. That's sort of an oxymoron. I guess it's possible.
Yeah. Well, they're Israeli army has soldiers.
Do you think the Roman army let Jews in?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, what was your rank when you were back there?
I wasn't back there, buddy.
Oh, you were?
I'm not that old.
Oh, you're getting old.
They allowed niggers and everything in the Roman army.
Well,
actually, Rome was just a city-state, so there's very few Romans, because... after a while, the empire got so big, you had to have everybody in.
Yeah, and then, of course, they made the big mistake. They built big freeways, big wide roads.
Oh, yeah.
And so everybody came in for a free ride.
Well, they say, all roads lead to Rome.
Just like all roads lead to the United States, because that's all there is.
Oh, yeah, it was like the modern airport of the day.
Airports,
all the traders and stuff came in.
We built super airports for big companies to make fortunes with the airline industry to bring these creeps in here. And once they get in there, they don't want to go nowhere.
Well, just like America, like the Roman Empire, they had a big export and a very little import, They're bringing everything in and sending very little out to make any money.
We're in part in the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Where's the Roman Empire?
What do you think about this Kerry guy? Now, as far as using humor, come on, let's not get that tight-assed. Everybody uses humor, and I don't blame the guy if he's in a corner for using humor.
Yeah.
I've done it before, I must admit.
Oh, yeah.
Well... Anyhow, I don't know that much about Kerry. I don't know. I guess he's liberal.
But didn't he the one that fought in Vietnam?
Yeah, and in fact, you got to hand it to a lot of these Democrat liberals. At least they were fighting in the war.
Yeah, I don't think there's very few Republicans who are in the war.
How about Patty Buchanan?
Yeah.
We had arthritis of the knee, so he couldn't go.
Yeah.
But yet he jogged for 20 years on the pavement around Washington, D.C.
I think it was just yellow stripe at the back.
Yeah, right. I've been close enough to see his hands, man. Yeah. He never worked a day in his life with his hands.
Anyways, and don't anybody believe that your mother has to be a Jew to be a Jew. That's bullshit.
Well, trust me, I haven't either.
How about that? Your mother don't have to be a Jew to be
Laura
a Schlesinger Jew.
Laura Schlesinger has neither, and she's a Jew. She's probably one of the biggest kites on radio.
Well, hell, you go down here,
to Laura.
They advertise in the newspaper, and 24 hours you can become a Jew.
Holy mackerel.
I know down in Phoenix they were converting them like mad, you know?
Can you get the nose and everything?
Yeah, you got to get one of those noses like old... No, the rock stars got it. You can take it on and pull it off.
Oh, Michael Jackson
nose. Michael Jackson nose, yeah. But you go down there, you give that rabbi $100, he'll make you a Jew in 24 hours or less.
Circumcising everything?
I think they even got a drive-up service.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah, you know those little plastic glasses with the big nose and the bushy eyebrows they sell?
Well, that's what
you get one of those free when you become a Jew.
How much is that?
And you just have to fly, and they have a drive-up. You stick your penis through this hole, and they fix you up real quick.
I did that in a zipper once.
And then the foreskins, I don't know who they feed those to.
Oh, Jehovah.
Oh, my God.
Well, how much does it cost to become a Holocaust survivor or a descendant of a Holocaust survivor?
It's almost freebie. I even got a blank they sent me out of something.
Cool.
I'm going to sign up. If you have any idea you might be a survivor, well, I was. Well, my granddad was killed at Auschwitz.
Well, that's right. Remember when they had that?
He got drunk and fell out of the guard tower. Now, I ought to get something.
No shit. That was like, remember that? They had that telephone in L.A. where the Jews were having you donate some money and they could plant a tree in Israel, in honor of your dead ancestor that died in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And Carl Strait was calling them up and saying, I'm going to plant a tree in Israel under the name of George Lincoln Rockwell.
Yeah, right.
Robert G. Matthews.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't say Adolf Hitler because they would have understood that, but he went Rockwell and Matthews, and I think Connie Lynch got a tree planted in
Israel. Well, we used to call up all the time to those Jew telethons and say, we're giving $10,000 for Irv Rubin.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one other guy. Remember the time Joe Fields?
Mm-hmm.
We said, this is Joe Fields.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. And we're going to donate $1,000. And Joe said he had rabbis coming to his house for a month.
They gave his phone number, and he had this racist recorded message, and they gave back the phone number.
Yeah.
So when the Jews wanted to collect their money for the Holocaust memory, they'd call up his Nazi phone number.
Yeah, right, right. But he said they actually sent rabbis back to his house. He finally had to run them off.
Beat down the door, get their money.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, one postscript on that. I read in the Jerusalem Post where, you know, all those trees they're planting? They were dying as fast as they planted them.
What do? Burn the trees and have a real Holocaust or a burnt offering?
Yeah, it's a scam. They pay these guys to plant them. They go out, plant them, and then they pull them up and throw them away and plant another one in the same place.
Surprised that a tree won't grow in the desert.
I'm telling you, they got some really big scams, and those guys over there sell around that the Church of the Divine Covenant or whatever the hell it was, and they're pulling scams like that all the time.
You mean to say that the Holocaust Forest was a hoax?
The Holocaust Forest was a money-making scam.
I can't go there and pee on a Holocaust tree.
Well, no, you can on the present generation of trees, but in 30 days from now, they'll pull those up and plant them all. Yeah, the trouble with people on our side, they don't read enough Jewish papers.
Oh, no, this is good stuff.
Oh, man, they talk about the Jews being so secret. That's bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
The Jews brag about it, and the Jerusalem, Jerusalem Today, I think, that magazine, they tell all kinds of...
The Jerusalem Post is a good one.
Well, that's the big newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the one, the Jerusalem Today newspaper magazine, they tell all kinds of rotten crap about Israel. And they're...
A lot of it is people are just too lazy to look. That's why they come in mystery, because they don't look.
Well, of course they're too lazy to look. That's why they go to a lot of these so-called right-wing racist leaders and stuff, and they give them a bunch of bullshit and tell them to scream white power, and that's all they get from them. For an example, in that magazine for Jerusalem, there, you can get on the internet. A few months ago, they had a story that the garbage out by the airport in Tel Aviv was becoming such a mountain of garbage that the planes couldn't take off. There's stuff like that in there all the time.
There was one kibbutz that was based on National Socialist theory, the Aryan kibbutz.
Yeah, right.
That was kind of funny.
Well, boy, there's nobody any more upset that they couldn't be Nazis than the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, a lot of them snuck in there. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That French and the Germans, they were liberated there in World War II.
Yeah.
And they know what it's like to be liberated by the Americans.
Better believe it.
And they wouldn't wish that on their worst enemies.
No.
That's why they're against the American liberation of Iraq. Because they know what it's like firsthand to get liberated by the Americans.
Yeah, after they get been given out the chocolate and the silk stockings so they could get all the pussy they could get, well, then the rapes and everything else happened. And I've got a book about that. We're going to reprint it by Andy Rooney. That's on 60 Minutes. It tells about all the atrocities that American troops were pulling after the war in Europe.
Yeah.
And it's quite a thing, you know. And you can imagine that a large percentage of that was these black troops.
Yeah, well, along with that, my dad told me that he was in a truck driving corps behind Patton's Armored Division, and he said that there was a guy in his corps that would have little marks on his door because this was after the war. Whenever he saw like a German citizen walk along the road, he'd swing his truck over and hit him, and every time he'd get one, he'd put a mark on this thing because they could do whatever they wanted. They could rape or kill or do anything, and you know, they were the liberators, so there was nobody to question them.
Well, if they, you know, if they had evidence that caught them, they did hang a few out. But it was really bad. And I know a man right here locally that said that he was in the Battle of the Bulge. He said
it was
rough, and he said they went as they went through the woods, they found all these German soldiers where their fingers had been cut off, and all their jewelry, their watches, or anything taken off of them, but. You didn't see any Americans being mutilated by the Germans.
Yeah. Well, that's what my dad was at that battle. He said that supposedly there was a rumor that the SS was executing American prisoners. So there were people in Patton's army and in his division that they cut all these Hitler, these German soldiers, and the Americans were executing them and stuff. My dad complained about that to his officer. I think that was kind of a widespread in that battle, because that's the battle that happened on Christmas time. And all the Americans thought the war was over, and they're getting ready to go home and stuff, and all of a sudden the Germans attacked, and they thought that the war was over.
Yeah, if the Germans had more reserves and some more equipment, they'd have recovered, pushed them right up to the channel.
Oh, yeah, because that's what the bulge is, because they're pushing right through the American lines.
Then another Dunkirk, only this time maybe they would have made the same mistake they made on the first Dunkirk. Well, Doctor, I think we're making one mistake here. I let that run for a full hour on the telephone. I think a lot of callers went to sleep. They were too weak by the end of the message.
An hour is a long time to have a phone
call. Oh, yeah, man. Well, we're liable to do anything here because we experiment.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's the area.
We fuck around until we get it right.
Yeah, that's right. And we've been fucking around for a long time.
One of these days we'll get it right.
And so we're just going to play no more than a half an hour of this stuff on there, and then you're going to be responsible for ordering one of these tapes for
damn cheap bastards.
Well, you'll get two shows for $7 on a cassette. Or you get yourself a little computer, you cheapos, and go up there to whiteplanet.org or tune in to shoutcast.com. You know, these computers now are dime a dozen.
Yeah.
I got two or three old ones laying around here that work.
Probably worth a dime. Anything that's not a penny for probably worth about $10.
Wait a minute. You're talking about, most of it is speed. That's all they get. You know, the only thing.
You got a penny in two. I'd like to see you try to sell the thing.
Well, I don't care. It works fine for me. Well, we're going to resurrect a new item in our repertoire.
What's this?
Beast of the Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was one of the best books I ever read about the Jews and the history of Jews in Europe and right up until the 50s in this country.
Albeit it's Christian.
Yes, it comes at it from a Christian, somewhat of a Christian point of view, but that's not the thing is that she's got more facts, dates, names of Jews involved and everything than almost anything I ever read.
Yeah, it's pretty thorough.
Now, this is an extremely hard book to get, and we're putting it out at $40, which we have to do these by hand, and so, you know, that's the way that goes. So, order one of these if you're a real student of the Kikes, and we'll send it out to you, $40, and I think you'll be extremely happy. Beast of the Apocalypse. It doesn't dwell on religion, though.
It means you have to do them by hand. There's no way I would do those by hand.
I know.
He says we have to do them by hand. He's talking about himself.
Yeah, that's because I got a mouse in my pocket. We is me. Yes, sir. Now, you've been rumbling around and watching the news this week. What is going on without dating the show more than 2 months?
Elizabeth Smart's been found.
Oh, yeah. kidnapped or run away. You decide.
Oh, well, I've decided a long time ago. She had, that she was, you know, I heard guys call in on a late night radio and say that's very common in Utah for young girls to run off or get.
Well, you know, if you had a choice to be trapped into a sexless Christian cult or a Christian cult where you get laid, which Christian cult would you choose?
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
She would get laid to the damn parents.
Well, I already belong to the church of what's happening now.
Right, damn right.
And we get laid regular. Yeah, that's one of the, you know, one of the things in our church.
And plus, she could have got laid by God. You
yeah.
imagine that being a Christian? You
yeah.
know, the whole idea of having God fuck you?
I wonder how big his penis is.
Not very big, from what I understand.
About the size of the Milky Way. I mean, I can't believe it. These fruitcakes are walking all over Utah with those white, look like clan robes on.
You know, it's an interesting point. You know, Temple Square in Salt Lake City, there's the Greyhound bus station, and that's where he was hanging out. And I used to go and buy Whoppers at the Burger King right next to the great Utah Salt Lake City Greyhound station in Temple Square. So when Jesus was hanging out, I used to go next door and buy burgers.
That makes you a friend of Jesus.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he was one of the guys who was panhandling in front of Burger King. I pushed aside. Maybe I pushed Jesus the fuck out of the way and get myself a Whopper.
Yeah, but if you touched him, you might have been cured or something. Well, anyhow,
I thought I gave him leprosy.
Well, but the point is that here are these fruitcakes. The guy walking around with a beard hanging down to his belly. He's all in this white garb with a white thing over the head.
That's
in
the woods.
They're all walking around this street, and nobody can find him. I mean, that'd be the first people I would jack up against the walls. They, who the hell are you?
Have you ever been to Salt Lake City? It's full of religious myths. Look at Temple Square. I'm Temple Square is where all the Mormons hang out. And the thing is, you know, what's a good con about this lady is she said that out of the goodness of her Christian heart that she brought this guy to come home and do some labor.
Oh.
But the real thing is she wanted to get some cheap labor.
Yeah,
and
right.
She's thinking of a bum, so she'd come home and have him rake up the leaves for her. You know, all he paid him was up. With a lunch.
Well, the first clue is that when the guy goes into the room, none of the girls scream.
Yeah. So that they knew, because they said he worked for 5 hours, and she paid him with a lunch and $5, and she had dinner with the girl. So they knew the guy, and they knew him as Jesus.
Well, there's something suspicious, all because the father and mother, that should have been one of the first things they said to the cop. Hey, yeah, Randy man here that thought he was Jesus.
I remember that Rico guy. You know, there's a gas station attendant made up this whole story that he came in and his truck was all muddy and he had 1,000, he came in and he came back and he drove 1,000 miles, he had mud over it, he had a post hole digger, and the wife called up and was talking to him, and the wife said it was all a lie. It turned out to be, you know, and they arrested this Rico guy from what this gook said, and he had high blood pressure. You know, the cops are always being pricks and they're always playing this good cop, bad cop game.
Right.
So they were telling him that he had to talk to you when you get medical care, and so he didn't do it, so he had nothing to say. So the guy had died of a brain hemorrhage because of his high blood pressure, and he died because of bullshit. As someone Duke said, and hell will freeze over before they press charges against
that. Well, I haven't heard any of those good old Christians from Utah apologizing.
Yeah. They basically murdered this guy who was innocent because, you know, they were playing good cop and bad cop until his blood veins and his head burst.
You know, that's one state I've never been in, and I have no plans to.
I've lived in Utah. I live outside of Salt Lake City in Ogden.
They're really hammering a lot of. We got a lot of friends up there.
Yeah.
They sort of got something going up there, and I guess the cops are all over them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I lived there in the 70s, and it was a pretty bizarre world. Somebody told me it's getting like, yeah, there's a lot of niggers in there and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mostly Mormons.
Nigger Mormons, yeah, here we go.
Actually, the Job Corps in Clearfield, Utah is where I became a racist. Now I became an odinist. I went to the library in Salt Lake City, and you know, they were always playing black nationalist movies in Job Corps.
Yeah.
And I heard all this stuff about Malcolm X, didn't want to worship a white god, so I knew that Jesus didn't really belong in Europe, so I went to the Salt Lake City Library and looked up Norse mythology, and that's how I discovered Odin, was in the Salt Lake City Library.
Well, Doctor, I'll tell you, one of these days we're going to go to that place and we're going to build a monument.
Goddamn right. Worship it as a temple,
and,
lady.
In front of the Job Corps Center.
Yeah.
This is where Dr. Kaldenberg
learned to hate niggers.
Yeah.
Instead of the liberals open it, well, the liberals did open my mind.
Are we going to put up one of those penis obelisks up there?
Goddamn right.
What kind of monument do you want?
Say, this is the place where Wyatt's mind was freed from fucked up liberalism.
Oh, yeah, man. I like that.
Wait a minute. I hear you say you found Odin in the Utah Salt Lake City Public Library?
Yeah, I had to push out my own pussy out of the way to get to the book.
Was he on his horse?
Goddamn right.
Wow, man, that must have been a magnificent thing.
Goddamn right it was. Like a little Valhalla in there in that library.
Well, he was white, right?
Goddamn right.
Odin was white. Okay. Well, did he have a beard?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What kind of skunk weed were you smoking that day?
Not at all. I was reading the book.
Oh,
right?
Okay. That reminds me of that old joke. The guy said, I think television is very educational. Every time somebody turns one on, I go to the library and read a book.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor, this is from our So What file that, you know, everybody should have known. FBI investigated for criminal informants.
Yes.
Yeah, ex-FBI agents, they recruit violent informants, and they have for decades in cities from coast to coast.
Oh.
FBI agents recruited killers and crime bosses as informants, and then looked the other way as they continued to commit violent crimes and whacking people. Now, we all knew that before.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about violence in the racist movement. Hell, there's more racist, more violence in the FBI, more criminal activity in all those agencies put together. Well, we know that wouldn't be any big surprise to our listeners out there, but...
Most of these feds and stuff, when they infiltrate the movement, they got to do something illegal so people won't think they're FBI agents. They say, well, I can't be an FBI agent. I just spray painted the menorah.
Well, that's the way
Dan Hawkins did.
Well, a lot of the black gangs, they did that, only they went one step further than the mob.
Yeah.
They said, you got to whack somebody.
Yeah.
And we got to see you whack them.
Because a lot of these synagogues are going to get hit by feds.
Wow. Wouldn't that be cool to catch an FBI guy swabbing down a synagogue? You know, that whole painting on synagogues has always left me silly anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather paint on the banks and stuff that they own in Hollywood sound stages than a synagogue.
Police station.
Yeah. And they always use it to get all kinds of publicity, send us money, and all the Christians cried out, you know, the Christians and Jews, oh, we got to help the Jews. Those guys painted those nasty signs.
Well, you know what's weird is, you know, the swastika is a good luck sign and a sign of protection.
Yeah.
So if you paint it on a synagogue or a Jewish, go to a cemetery and put it on the headstone, are you saying you want to protect the Jews' souls? What the hell does the swastika mean?
Well, that's because these young guys get in these outfits, they don't teach them anything, and they don't read anything, and they don't even know why they're racist. And the first guy that comes along that gives them some kind of a cockamamie answer out of the Bible or something, they change their mind.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not really racist. They only think they're racist.
That's what a Hollywood Nazi is, somebody who gets his national socialism from watching Hogan's Heroes and other Hollywood products.
That's right.
They watch Anne Frank's Diary and they see all these Nazis spraying swastikas all over the synagogues, and that's where they've got to go and do it because it's on TV.
Well, they get all turned on a lot of times with the mean stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's not nice.
No.
You know, they still got poor old Ernst Zundel in the slammer up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in Canada. He's only about 20 miles up into Canada, I guess, the last I heard. But, you know, all these people that support him on the right-wingers and the inspirationists or whatever, they said, we got to get a petition going.
Yeah.
You know what a petition means to these damn Jews and these guys in power?
Come to the waistband.
Yeah, I said in the update, I said, the only good a petition does is to make the Jews happy. They don't give a shit if you send 10,000 signatures. But the Iron Heel in Canada and the U.S. love all those names that you put on the petition. Once you're in the hands of Zog, you're there till they decide to boot you out. Pure and simple. Now, my Ouija board says Zunda is going to be deported back to Germany and then probably to a German prison. Any bets? You know, that's an insult to my intelligence to have me sign a petition to give the government. Now, there's millions of people in this country, at least 40% are against the war that we're going into, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make a shit, they're going into the war.
Yeah.
You can, and it just, they just laugh at these petitions, and it makes them feel good that we're pissing, and like when the right wing goes out and demonstrate. You know, this week they're going to demonstrate at the Alamo against the Mexican immigration. You know, there'll be 100 of them show up, and the police are going to escort them in buses to demonstrate. And, you know,
Mexican police?
No. They should be the Mexican.
I bet they are. Most of the cops are Mexican.
Yeah, right. Most of the cops are Mexican. But when are people going to learn that's an insult to my intelligence? That doesn't exhibit any power whatsoever, man, I'll tell you. I get so uptight and mad at petitions and marches, I could spit.
I would just like the Mexican police to escort Davy Crockett to the Alamo in the original
film. Oh, yeah.
And we live in history.
Well, you remember how the Redcoat agents, they put all these rebels in the wagons and took them to Lexington and Concord.
Take them from British.
And didn't charge them at all. Give them all bulletproof vests, too.
See, there's a buffer between the revolutionaries and the British Army.
Why, yeah. See, that's we just haven't learned how to play the game.
That's our revolution plot.
Oh, shit, man. I'll tell you, even the anarchists look better when I listen to that crap. You know, at least the anarchists will go out and do something kick-ass or, you know, say, you got to march on the sidewalk, and they'll say, fuck you, and march in the street.
Yeah.
Or they say, you got to march in the street, and the anarchist says, fuck you, I'll walk on the sidewalk. You know, I like that.
You get to control them by telling them the exact opposite of what you want them to march on the sidewalk, tell them to march in the street, and they're on the sidewalk.
Right.
You know, that James burial box is supposed to have Jesus' brother buried, that they had found a body in just a box with some Amorite carvings on there that said, here lies James, brother of Jesus.
You mean James wasn't in that box?
He wasn't in the box.
Why would they to go back to being a Christian about
it? So they couldn't carbon date it, and they couldn't prove the age of it. But what they did is they took the Amorite writing, and they went to some experts, and they found out that whoever was carved the Amorite on the box, they used two different dialects, and neither one was a dialect of the first century.
Can't the Jews get anything right?
So what somebody did is they found an old how to write not Amorite book, and they got the pages must have stuck together, and they got two different languages of Amorite, you know.
That sounds like Anne Frank and her ballpoint pen diary, man, I'll tell you.
And neither of them were the one that would have been spoke at the time.
And all these Aryan leaders running around, how powerful and smart the Jews are. The Jews never make a mistake. We don't have a chance against the Jews. I'm telling you.
Well, the Gardens really stupid with this. No matter how much evidence you find, the Christians are going to say, see, Jesus exists because they found James's coffin box.
Yeah, the truth never catches up to the lie. Yeah, yeah, it serves their purpose.
The pathology of truth.
Is that it?
Yes.
Let's move on.
All right.
Now, here's something that sort of got lost in the struggle, and I'm not sure what the story is here, but a guy sent me this email, and he said, there's a new genetic mail-in test to determine racial makeup. No kidding. You buy a kit, put a small blood sample on a card and mail it to the address provided, and in a few weeks they mail you a confidential genetic analysis telling you your racial makeup. For example, I heard one user described as 85% nigger, and I've heard this test is getting more popular by word of mouth, but the media won't carry news about it very much. Wonder why? Well, I think I know why. I think this is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, somebody, it's a scam.
It's another scam somebody's put out on the internet. And somebody emailed me and said, where can I get one of those? Well, look, if you know where to get one, let me know, because we're going to try it. I don't know about Dr. Kaldenberg. I want to check his ancestry out.
I'm a 600-pound Negro woman.
Oh, my God.
That's why I joined the race list, because I found there's a whole bunch of niggers in here.
And you've clouded my mind. I can't see that. Yeah, all right.
Well, you know what's funny is a lot of these knuckleheads are going to take that test, and it's all bullshit. Some guy's going to say, oh, you are 2% Jew, and somebody's going to shoot themselves.
Yeah, right.
It turns out to be there's some Jew over there just scamming them.
I can't ever figure out what this... How could you be a 2% Jew?
That guy, the guy on the other end, he can write up a piece of paper and make it true.
But what is the 2%? You one ball or what? I mean, I don't know. What is that?
Heard about this goop pneumonia that's coming from China, and the goops are flying over here, and there was a case in Los Angeles where somebody came in contact with this newly arrived chink and got the pneumonia.
Is that what they call terminal sniffles?
Yeah, they say it's a very contagious form of pneumonia, and there's no real cure for it, and 9 people have died so far.
Well, I got to get ready. What do I do? Put masking tape around my doors? Or?
Stay away from gooks.
Oh,
see a gook, you go running.
Well, you mean I can't hang out in that sashimi bar or whatever it is?
Stay away from gook restaurants, man.
How can you? There's gooks all around the place.
I know. When you see a gook, just cover your mouth.
That's it. Whenever I see one walking down the street, I'm going to cover my mouth. Look the other way.
Get behind me, devil.
You think that'll make an impression?
Goddamn right.
Well,
everybody's starting to do it.
Well, since you're a mythologist, isn't there some beads I could shake or some incantation?
I think the best bet is just a handkerchief over your boot.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
How the hell are you going to keep a microbe from getting through your handkerchief?
If you run away fast enough.
Oh, man.
That's Jim Walter.
Well, Doctor, they got a new quack study that's funded by the white Gentile multimillionaire, the MacArthur Foundation.
Whoa.
Well, you know that MacArthur Foundation's on PBS all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're using their money for everything bad for the white race.
Some of the most racist shows on TV.
Yeah, and it says, and it's hideous, genius, anti-white research grants. It will suggest for the fifth time that competence to stand trial, get this, requires developmental competence. First, on the basis of this study, they're going to attempt to have courts established with juveniles, white and Asian, are smart enough to be tried as adults, and which the black browns and brown blacks are to be counseled and freed. Step two, apply the same standards to adults so that only whites and Asians will ever be sentenced to life in prison due to their developmental competence to stand trial. So 65 to 75% of blacks would forever be ineligible for full consequence trials.
Well, that means the Jews are always accusing us of being ignoramuses and retards. That means they can never put us on trial because we're a bunch of idiots.
Well, that's right. And
other than that, all these other defenses.
No racists ever going to be on trial again.
Yes, I'm a white racist, I'm an idiot.
That's right.
ADL. I can't be tried for anything.
Only these white Republicans are going to get it.
Damn right, and the Jews.
Okay. Well, it's better than I thought.
Christy Hines, they're the Pretenders. You hear that she was at the San Francisco concert and she said she hoped America got its ass kicked. In Iraq. I always liked her. She's pretty hot.
Well, what about the Dixie Chicks?
Oh, Dixie Chicks. Talk about a willy, baby.
That a gal was, she was ashamed that she had to live in the same state with Bush.
Yeah, and now she's apologizing and all these rednecks are having all these parties where they're burning the albums just like they did the Beatles. Remember they burned the Beatles album? That sure hurt the Beatles.
Yeah,
you know,
well.
They make like $100 million a piece.
Well, I'm 100% for, and I don't want Bush moving to California either.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he should leave the country.
Well, that goes to how powerful these demonstrations are. Remember when John Lennon said that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus Christ, and all these right-wing Christians in the South were piling up Beatle albums and setting them on fire? Who won? The Beatles won.
Yeah, they make $1 billion.
Oh, yeah, they make all this money, and Christianity is basically falling out of favor of most young people, and the Beatles are still very popular.
Well, in fact, that's publicity is publicity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people forget the negative part pretty quick, and there's the publicity. But what was that guy, that wild-ass singer,
The Multiplier?
No, not him, but a newer one. But then they took all his albums in the middle
Marilyn
of
Marilyn Manson.
And they took a steamroller and they rolled back and forth and broke all his albums.
Was that Marilyn Manson?
No, it wasn't Marilyn Manson. It was one of those wild ass guys, Lionel Richie or somebody. But one of the talk show hosts, they got all these albums into a place that ran over a steamroller. But the guy's albums still sell like that. So there's no such thing as bad advertising.
No,
you know.
No.
But I salute the Dixie Chick for having the guts to say that.
Yeah.
And you should not apologize. Quit apologizing.
Yeah.
Either don't say it, or say it and never apologize. I don't apologize for one goddamn thing I ever said.
I'm sorry. You know,
I get pissed.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know what's interesting is that when all those guys, those parents would take the albums from their kids, those Beatles albums, set them on fire, then their kids would sneak out and buy more Beatles albums. So actually, the kids bought the albums twice.
Yeah, right. Dr. Collinsberg, I understand you would like to have the floor to pontificate.
Yes.
Okay.
I would personally like to apologize to the Jews that I want them to die in the Holocaust.
Oh.
I'm so sorry that every time I see a Holocaust movie, I'm happy.
Well, you're such a nice individual.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Jews will appreciate it.
I want to claw this white skin from my bones. I'm so, what they're saying is true. If we actually knew Jews, we would love them.
Yeah.
And the fact that I went to Job Corps and learned to hate niggers had nothing to do with reality.
Well, you know the thing. You know the thing I keep complaining about, and I say, look, you know, the blacks get up, they make us think whites are horrible, whites are terrible, whites kill blacks. Whites, all these non-whites, whites are horrible and terrible. Why do they follow us everywhere we go then?
Goddamn right.
Why don't they go someplace else? They don't have to be around us. They're going to go back down to Africa and Niggerville.
No.
But yet, the same people bitch over and over about how bad white people are, but they move next to them. They got to live on top of them. They got to live next to them. They got to go to the same church, everything else.
In Jesus, tear this evil white skin from my bones.
Oh.
Also, I'd also like to apologize for the fucking American Indians for dying from smallpox. And all that kind of cool shit.
Wait a minute. That was my granddaddy giving them my blankets.
All right. Who's cool guy?
That's how I got all my money, my fortune, my family fame.
Apologize for the Mexicans for running them out the fuck out of California. Apologize for the Alamo. Apologize for crucifying Christ.
I ain't going to apologize for nothing, no matter how you twist it around. Hey, look, you know, the Hammerskin Nation guys told me they're not, they haven't disappeared. They're still around. The ADL put out something, and then they quoted me as saying something about that they weren't around anymore. I don't ever remember saying anything like that, but anyhow, they've just learned, they've gotten smart, Hammerskin Nation, so they're at, you can reach them over here. What is this? www.midmanhammerskins.net or www.hammerskins.net, and still alive, boys.
You'd like to apologize to the Hammerskins for saying that they were dead.
That's true. I will apologize for I didn't say they were dead.
For not saying the Hammerskins were dead.
I apologize for the ADL putting out the wrong shit.
I apologize for Morris Eve being full of shit.
Yes. One more thing. They're trying to raise money for Chester Doles, a poor old buddy of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is they want to send it to the lawyer. Don't give a lawyer a damn thing. Just get yourself a federal defender. You're going to get screwed anyhow.
Yeah.
And he's going to probably get 10 years. Give the money to the family. He's got a wife and 11 kids. Give the money to the family. And remember, scorched earth policy is all the system understands.
Okay. Here in Nicaragua, there's this 9-year-old girl, that Mexican girl, who got pregnant. Somebody raped her and got her pregnant. And the Catholic Church was fighting to make this girl have a 9-year-old girl have a baby. And the doctor said she'd probably die if she did. But then, you know, they said, well, that's in God's hands. All they're concerned about is the life of the unborn child.
Well, in other words, this is in nobody's hands.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know 9-year-old girls get pregnant. But can you imagine that church is so oppressive on those people?
Well, that's the way it is, and that's why the people in this country fought against the Catholicism for so long. There's a lot of basis in the anti-Catholicism.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the Klan.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 20s, the whole country, the Protestants, were anti-Catholic, but a lot of it was based on, they look at Mexico and see how the church
dictated
in these countries all over South America,
yeah.
And how these people went by what the Pope said, and I knew guys who were in the Klan way back then, and they told me that a lot of the Italians were flying the papal flags in the neighborhoods and everything. So what the hell they expect the Protestants to do?
Right.
They'd be upset, they worried, they're scared that this Romish Popeism was going to take over.
Right.
Instead, we had Billy Graham take over. What the hell? Well, Dr. Colbert, eBay takes a look at racism.
Oh.
The Internet's auction house, eBay, heightened its racist censors by cautioning sellers against posting items that could be construed as offensive, responding to complaints by minority activists that eBay's website contained racial slurs. The San Jose company said it will refine its policy so that a dialog box pops up whenever sellers use a derogatory word and advises them that it may be highly offensive to many in the eBay community.
I want to apologize to eBay for selling nigger scalps over their service. I am sorry. I will never call them nigger scalps anymore. They'd be Negro scalps.
Well, let's call them colored scalps.
Okay, black boy scalps.
Okay. Hey, remember that Chief Moosey back there?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That said it was white boys who were shooting everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he lied. He lied.
What?
He lied. It said Montgomery County Police Chief Charles Moose knew the descriptions of the Beltway snipers at least one day before releasing the information to his own patrol units, police union officials charged. They say that the delay not only jeopardized the lives of citizens, but also the safety of the police officers. This guy is a total nutcase. They ran him out of Portland. I mean, Portland's so liberal, nobody could get run out of Portland unless you're really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They sent him down here, and here he had the real identification descriptions of these niggers, but yet he said it was white people.
Son of a bitch.
Hang that bastard.
I'm sorry I called you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Man.
Apologize.
Gotta apologize. The Economist, kind of a conservative magazine, said since the last 12 years that 360,000 Iraqi children have died because of the embargo, food embargo in Iraq.
Yeah.
Talk about being a terrorist. Talk about genocide.
Rumsfeld, and he sold all the poison gas to Hussein anyhow. He is a war criminal.
Goddamn it. I'd like to apologize to the Iraqi government for not overthrowing the Bush administration.
Yeah, man. You know, people are all the time bitching about the ADL.
Mm-hmm.
They're always bitching about the ADL. And so I said, I'm suspicious of people who send me endless ADL negative propaganda,
mm-hmm.
but never expose the benign risk, Masonic financiers of the ADL. Without the money raised by the parent organization, ADL is dead in the water. I think the reason is that the Benign Breath has its chapters in about every town of any size in North America, and its so-called right-wing racists are too chicken shit to directly oppose the Benign Breath. When's the last time you saw anyone picketing a Benign Breath meeting, huh? You can discount a lot of it to stupidity, but some of it is a direct plan to throw activists off the track. Let's start exposing the Benign Breath meeting places and their membership. Quote, if you want to know who's running the show, look at who's signing the checks. And it's the Benign Breath, not the ADL.
I'm sorry about attacking the ADL, Tom.
Man, you're getting old with this stuff here, man.
It cleans your soul, Tom. You should apologize.
Oh, yeah, my soul feels fine on both feet. Dr. Kahlenberg apologized for ending the show.
I'm sorry.